And today we're back in the glory of God. We've been in and out of the glory of God, but especially with Passover, with Resurrection Sunday, and then with David and teaching, and because I was gone, and he'll be teaching again. So we make the rotation, and I hope that the continuity, especially since we're called the continuity of scripture class, the continuity, it doesn't get waylaid, okay? Thank you so much. Thank you. And so we're continuing in the glory of God, the 2025 version of the glory of God, because there is a 2024 version on the website. But this is week three. Just cross out three, and I'll give you the week next week. Should the Lord tarry, okay? But we are praying that perhaps it's today, perhaps it's the next moment. But the lesson today is called Why the Burning Bush? Why Was No One Singed? And the date is July 13th, 2025.
It's week nine.
Is it really week nine?
The last one, I think, was March 16th.
Okay, and what were we talking about? That'll help.
The eternal purpose of God.
Yes, okay, so we are week nine. Thank you. Thank you. I don't know why I didn't change that little number yesterday. Okay. Week nine. So, why are we studying the glory of God?
Because that's...
Okay, got to go. Okay, Christine. Then.
To better know him?
To better know him. Okay, good.
Because that is his purpose in doing things throughout history, is to
magnify.
Is to magnify himself, yeah. Bring glory to himself.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Okay, and that's where we're going down to look at then in the next couple of points. So the significance of God's glory in the Bible is, I really believe it's the unifying theme in the Bible. Other people would say otherwise, but the very fact that it's God's glory is continually mentioned in Scripture, and what is his glory? The weight of who he is. Kavod is the Hebrew word, and how he manifests his presence to us. And so it's the unifying theme. As I said, we see it throughout Scripture. It's a biblical part of the biblical narrative. It must be. The eternal purpose of God, Pat had just mentioned, I believe is Habakkuk 2:14, which says the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. And that's God's desire. That's God's desire. And that's okay for God to have his desire, right? Enacted and then come to fulfillment, complete fulfillment. But this is God's desire, and it's our desire as well. And how glorious it's going to be to live in the kingdom of God on earth, which leads then to the new heavens and the new earth and the new Jerusalem, and know that God has prepared his mansions. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, what's he going to do? Come for us. Come for us. And so, is the earth filled with the knowledge of the glory of God now?
No.
No. No. And will it be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God? Yes. Why? Because he said so.
Right?
Yeah. Right? His promise. And we will be there when that happens. That will happen in the millennial kingdom, the kingdom of God. So, also, the significance, other than the unifying theme being the glory of God and the ultimate purpose, the eternal purpose of God, it gives us eschatological hope, okay? We are into in this class, talking about end times. There are classes, I should say, who aren't into talking about end times, and I would ask them why not. So, have any of you ever taken me up on a survey question to ask people? I was just thinking about that yesterday, because so many times you'll hear me say, take a survey. From a believer, what do you believe about this? What do you believe about that? And there's a lot of different thoughts going around. Beth?
There are a lot of believers that are afraid.
They're afraid?
Because of what they've read.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm.
It scares them. They don't realize what the deal is.
Right. They don't have the foundation then. So it's so important. But did you say specifically about Revelation?
Yes. There, yeah.
So, and I guess,
yeah.
Daniel, the tribulation, yeah. Yeah, because there might be some. In fact, I was talking to a person not that long ago who said, I don't know if, a believer, I don't know if I'm ready.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. Wow, to see him face to face. So there are end time expectations in the Old Testament, and they have not been erased by any teaching of the New Testament, because that's where we're finding some people landing, saying that the New Testament reinterprets the Old Testament. Oh, and it doesn't. It doesn't. Chrissy?
I've also seen like quite an uptick in Instagram. There's a lot of more videos of like, this is AI, and these people look real. But, you know, it's and they're equating it to, like, end times where you see these people and it looks totally real, but they're not, you know. And it's not just the AI, but just other end time themes showing up a lot on Instagram.
Yeah. So they're thinking, people are thinking they're not being given the truth.
Or that's what it will come to, that we're going to have to rely on the Bible and not what we see or feel.
Oh, that way. Oh, and then perish the thought.
You can't always believe what you see because it's now so easy.
Yeah. And we're all, what percentage of the world is fixated on screens?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. And it's the deception piece.
Yes.
You know, and which Jesus promised. Which
right. We yeah.
Deception.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Right. It starts right off the bat. He says in Matthew 24. So, but what about the glory of God? Okay. So it's a unifying theme. So it's been since the glory of God has existed from pre-eternity, past eternity. Okay. Eternity past. There's no pre-eternity. I think I just made that up. But from eternity past. So scratch that. Okay. And God is eternal. God is eternal. We looked at how God manifested himself to Abraham. And it wasn't an exhaustive look. So always go back. If something intrigues you from a handout and you thought, well, she didn't go much into that, check it out. Check out cross-reference. Check out the passages in the Bible that will give you even more information about than what we talked about. But we didn't go into the glory of God in Moses' day. And I want to do that briefly today. And I think you probably realize that from the title, Why the Burning Bush, okay? But we need to know that biblical principles are always repeated. Maybe not verbatim. One of my favorite biblical principles is when David came to Goliath and he said, you know, you come to me with your spear and your javelin and all your accoutrements, but I come to you in the name of the Lord our God, and that the world may know that there is a God in Israel. And you find that repeated. It might not be the same way, because you see God saying in Ezekiel that you may know that I am the Lord. And 63 times it's mentioned in Ezekiel. Whoa. And you don't hear him say that there is a God in Israel all those times. So, but you'll know that this has got to be a biblical principle. What's a biblical principle? How would you define a biblical principle in Scripture?
we should really pay attention to.
Okay, a roadmap for God's plan.
Yeah.
Yeah, for God's plan. And I'm thinking of Genesis 12:3. And Genesis 12:3, you see it repeated in different ways, but we know it's one of the biblical principles is for what? I will bless those who bless you, and him who curses you, I will curse. I will curse.
The fulfillment of all scripture.
The fulfillment of all.
It also said, because of you, the soul of nation will bless in many nations.
Say that again.
You always tend to forget that part, but you have to build the whole thing.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, and I did leave it hanging. Yeah, and
all the.
No, that one I fill in. I leave other stuff hanging, but in scripture. But yeah, and all the families of the earth will be fulfilled
and blessed.
Right. Thank you, Michelle. So definitely, and there was something I was going to say. Oh, and I had looked at the word curse because in Genesis 12:3, as it says, you know, I will bless those who bless you, and curse those who curse you, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. But that word curse, when you look it up, it's the Hebrew word, and I don't remember what the Hebrew word is, but what I really zeroed in on was the meaning of that word curse, and it means to lightly regard, all right? To lightly regard, to despise, or to treat with contempt. Oh, to lightly regard. Do you think that that could be the worst curse, you know, ever, to lightly regard? You think more to treat with contempt or to despise? Okay. Survey. When you're talking to your believer friends, ask them what they think about Israel. I'm serious. Mm-hmm. Okay.
In what way would you think about it?
Well, you have to say that first. Hopefully, they will. You know how you answer a question with a question, okay?
Yes.
Okay. You know that. All right. So, if you ask a person, what do you think about Israel? And if they answer you with a question, just go with the flow. Don't get, you know, nippy about it. But, they're going to have to figure out what you mean. And they might just say, I don't know what you mean. So then you could say, well, what do you think of Israel as a nation? You could start there as a nation. And then what do you think about the Jewish people?
Do you think because of the fighting that's going on right now, that has a lot to do with people's thought process of it?
The fighting that's going on now? Fighting that's gone on for millennia. You know, why do you think God said, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you? That's like, okay, you know, I'm calling you, Abraham, to be a nation. I'm creating your descendants, and they'll be Isaac and Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob will be the father of the 12 tribes. Israel is a created nation. Check out Isaiah 43:1, okay? It's a created nation. And they were given the charge by God to go into the world to the other nations. And from Noah there came 70 nations. Noah and his sons came 70 nations. And Israel was to be, they were to be the witnesses of the one true God of Israel to the nations. Read Psalm 117. And then read Romans 15, verses 8 and following. And it talks about the Gentiles and the Jews, the Gentiles rejoicing in God's, in the Jewish people, and vice versa. So, John?
It also came because of the fact that their obedience, they received the blessing. It wasn't just because they were Jews. Their obedience made the very beginning for it to follow through. Regardless of what their nationality was, right? Well, God chose the Jews. Look, the stubbornness of everything. I mean, God chose the Jews to give us the example of them that He can love. He can love
the Jews even want to pass as well.
Well, I think it goes. I think it goes deeper because of God's plan.
Yes, deeper,
yeah, because he. Because throughout, here's the thing that some people, some believers, go down the road of when you say, "Well, what do you think of Israel?" Think, "Well, look at all what they did. They were such a stiff-necked people. They were so disobedient. They worshipped idols." And you go through that in the Tanakh, in the Old Testament. But God, I want us to turn to Ezekiel 36. Even at the end of all that, you know, God made unconditional promises to Israel through the covenants. And actually, in Genesis 12, where that's, "I will bless those who bless you and curse him who curses you," that's the beginning of, that's the promise given to Abraham. That is the beginning of the Abrahamic covenant. The Abrahamic covenant is actually cut in Genesis 15.
Because of Abraham's obedience.
I'm sorry, because of Abraham?
Obedience.
Abraham wasn't that obedient. You go down.
God chose him to be his friend. See, God, I don't mean to be interrupted here, but what I'm saying is, God chose the people of Israel to be witnesses, yes, because of their promise, because God's promise over those that obeyed, that were Jews, then they got blessing. We see the Gospels, the Old Covenant, New Covenant. They made mistakes, but it's to teach the whole world that even though mistakes were made, God still honored to bless them, and he can also bless those that come into acknowledgement of why he came and why he died and why he rose.
So, but what, down, I'm not getting your major gist on this.
The major gist is that God chose the Jewish people because he honored their obedience. Their obedience, the boat, Noah's Ark, God still honored their obedience. God's promise was because of their obedience to those who were found faithful, so he gave them the blessing as his chosen people.
Now, Noah wasn't Jewish, okay? The first Jewish person was Jacob, okay?
Yes.
Okay? And when you come to, okay, let's go to 36 of Ezekiel. Let's go there first, because I thought of another passage. And two, you've got, John, to your point, in Deuteronomy 28, you've got a listing of the curses and a listing of the blessings. If you're disobedient, you'll be cursed, and you have a whole listing. That is a whole bunch more, the curses than the blessings. And also in Leviticus 26, you've got the curses and the blessings as well. Nobody can be obedient.
But they do better. And then the whole Bible is the ups and downs of them coming to trying to be obedient and then falling off, mm-hmm. being punished, going back, asking God to forgive them and starting a new life, which shows God's love for
mm-hmm.
them.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what comes out to me so much in the Bible.
But then, okay, so think of the Tanakh, 39 books,
right.
Okay? And there's a lot of talk about obedience, but, wow, does that mean that there are no Old Testament saints? Wow,
no.
Just with what we've said. Because they disobeyed more than they obeyed. Look at us. You know, finger needs to be pointing at us, too.
But it's not based on them. It's based on God.
Right.
Right.
It's based on God's promise. And when you go to the book of Galatians 3:4, you will see that the promise and the law work in harmony. Because God gave them the law. God gave the Jewish people the law, Israel the law. And in Psalm 19:7, it says, the law is perfect. It restores the soul. Okay, the law is perfect, it restores the soul. So you can't start badgering the law at all. What was the point of the law? When we go through scripture, we need to understand these things. What was the point of the law, Karen?
To bring us back to God, to, you know, that the law is not sufficient. Lambs, certain, you know, going and taking animals is not covering you. And we need a final solution, mm-hmm. which is Jesus. Mm-hmm.
And actually, even deeper down than that is the law shows the holiness of God, which is doing it, and it shows us that we're not holy. So that would come first, the holiness of God. We are sinners. What are we going to do? Okay. And so that's what we see. And two, we see Old Testament people coming to faith. What about Abraham? I started to say before that in Genesis 12, after God gives the promises of being a great nation and also having the land and also the blessings, then Abraham and having the land, God showed Abraham the land. In that chapter, a famine rose up in the land. Oh, okay, that's a little bit of a conundrum. So what do? Well, we leave the land, he and Sarah, and go to Egypt. That's what we do. And Sarah, when you're asked who you are, do not tell them you're my wife. Oh, that's handy dandy. So there's the lying in it, right? And who gets slapped on the hand when Pharaoh realizes what was told by someone that he was sending out, I guess, that Sarah was Abraham's wife?
Pharaoh.
Pharaoh gets slapped on the hand. Oh, and you think, why? Why? That's pretty amazing. God's protecting his creation of Israel, all right? And you see Abraham do the same thing in Genesis 20. Same thing. They go to Abimelech, and he says to Sarah, tell them, you know, you're my sister.
Why?
Because we're mankind. Because we're sinners. Okay. You know, 'cause it's easier. It was easier, you know, for whatever Abraham was thinking of.
Take her and kill him.
Yeah, yeah, right, right. He was defending himself.
He was protecting his life.
Yeah, yeah.
Rather than trusting that sort of his seed.
What, John?
It was understood that the wife was a beautiful woman, so the Pharaoh
right.
You take his woman, so he devised his own story.
Right. Right, because he was afraid that he would be killed. Yeah, let's go to Ezekiel 36 look at verse 16, Ezekiel 36:16, and it says, and I'm going to read this part fast, okay? Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, Ezekiel, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own ways and deeds. To me, their way was like the uncleanness of a woman in her customary impurity. Therefore, I poured out my fury on them for the blood that they had shed on the land and for their idols with which they had defiled it. So I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed throughout the countries. I judged them according to their ways and their deeds. When they came to the nations, wherever they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said of them, these are the people of the Lord, and yet they have gone out of his land. But I had concern, God is saying, for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations wherever they went. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God. And I want to stop right there because God led me to this passage when I was in a missionary conference luncheon. And through Scott Still Bible, this is years ago, and a president of a seminary in the Middle East was speaking. And the question that was asked of him was, who is entitled to the land? All right. And his response, and I'm sitting at the edge of my seat, okay? His response was, whatever is fair and equitable. And I said, what? I didn't say that out loud. But I said, fair and equitable? So I said, Lord, please. And I had just, you know, I wasn't that long into working with chosen people, I don't think. Maybe about 7-8 years. And I said, please show me from scripture where I should take a conversation. If I was having a conversation with this guy one-on-one, and if it was, you know, going to be in interaction, but I didn't feel like I could stand up there and say, what? You know? But God directed me to Ezekiel 35, and then Ezekiel goes right into 36. So let's pick up with 22, as I started it before. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water. And God is talking about the new covenant. The new covenant which has not yet happened to Israel, the nation of Israel. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. And put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them, because it's only at that point that Israel will be able to follow God's judgments, okay? And I thought, praise God, this is an answer. God realizes that they've profaned his name. And then, you know, we would say, well, that's why God is not blessing them. And look what he is doing. He is blessing. You go to Isaiah 14:1, and God says, I will still choose Israel. And that's what we need to go by. That's the word of God. But too many times it's our inclination, it's what we think about a people group, I'm sorry to say, you know, and we don't like this one, or we don't like that one, and that colors our thinking, and it discolors the Word of God. It truly does. So, I don't know how we got here exactly, but there's another verse that I was going to look at. That's okay, because time is fleeting. But God repeats the biblical principles that he wants us to know. One of them being Genesis 12:3, and another one, Genesis 18:18. Mm-hmm. Genesis 18:18, God says, should I tell Abraham that I am going to make of him an instrument of blessing for the world? Okay. And so in other words, God's saying, I'm going to make Israel an instrument of blessing for the world. And how amazing when there was a famine in the known world, and Joseph was in charge of stockpiling and then distributing all the food. Joseph, young Jewish boy, one of Jacob's sons, and Pharaoh made him, he put him in that role. Pharaoh, the Egyptian, the Gentile, okay, put him in that role because God had given Joseph the gift of dreams and interpreting dreams at the time, okay? So when we continue to see a little bit more of Joseph, which we will do next week, but I still think of when Jacob and the rest of his family comes down into Egypt to be fed by what his son has, you know, put together in Egypt. Jacob, the Jew, blessed Pharaoh. And there was no, there's no talk about Pharaoh pushing him aside or anything like that. And then I think that when God used Moses to deliver the Jewish people out of Egypt, that it wasn't only the Jewish people that left Egypt. But when you go to Exodus 12, verse 38, it says a mixed multitude went with them. Mixed multitude being Gentiles. Mixed multitude, how did they, well, I don't understand, Kathy, what are you talking about? Isn't it good to find out about the culture of the day when we're in the history? And indeed, the Bible is a history book, supernatural history book, but we know that Egypt was a conquering land, and they took the spoils of war, being people, and brought them back to their country and used them as slaves. So mixed multitude were the Gentiles from hither and yon that Egypt was using as slaves. And, you know, the slaves, the Jewish slaves and the Gentile slaves, I guess got together at one point. It doesn't say, of course. But they, the mixed multitude, was delivered from Egypt along with the Jewish slaves. And isn't that, I was reading that one day years ago, and I said, wow, that's such an example of I will make you an instrument of blessing for the world. Mm-hmm. And we can cite other examples too. Do you have a question, Bobby? Mm-hmm. No? Okay. You got into a question mode look.
Listening.
Oh, you're listening. Okay. So, and then, okay. Do I want to go there? Yeah. No. No, because I'm all, yeah, no, we'll take it up, because we have 5 minutes anyway left.
We have a lesson left here.
Yeah, I know. We'll take it home, read it, bring it back, please, please, please. I don't know where you put your lessons when you get home. You say, I don't know where I put my lessons when I get home, and that's, and herein lies the problem. But questions, comments, you gotta have questions.
Talking about the handouts, for anyone who doesn't know, we've got the previous week's lessons stacked in the closet over here. And for the really old ones, the big, thick notebook has a single copy of the lessons going back probably a couple of years.
Okay.
Well, they're also on the website.
Yeah, they're on the website. That's good. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. And it's JewishRootsOfChristianity.org. John?
You both speak of recording it.
I'm recording it, and then I send it to the webmaster, and she downloads it. Huh? Right, right. So there, and on the website, there are a lot of lessons from... years.
New technology, do you have anything like a CD that I can grab a hold of and put on the radio and drive the vehicle?
Say that again.
Do you have a CD of your classes?
No, that I don't. No. Mm-hmm. And cars don't have CD players anymore. Yeah. Oh, okay, well that's good. That's good. Yeah.
Yeah, we have.
Jen, what were you saying over there, yonder? Over yonder? Okay.
I need to get my phone because I may have to meet somebody.
Okay. And Terry's on. Everything got worked out.
Matthew 25 started partnering with another agency, Hope Women's Center down on McDowell and 16th Street. And mostly Hispanic neighborhood, and we're just kind of working with them. But so far, the relationship looks really good. And I don't even know why I'm even sharing this, but I mean, the woman I'm going to be meeting over here, she's going to be going down there once or twice a month.
Where is it? What place is it?
It's called the Hope Women's Center at McDowell and 16th Street, and primarily it's not homeless. but they're not wealthy. So whatever that in-between group is, and they get a lot of their literature in Spanish because they're trying to learn English as a second language. So now we're trying to raise funds. Matthew 25 is addressing this, trying to raise funds to buy English and Spanish Bibles side by side, so that the Spanish people could learn English and vice versa. But they're really expensive. Like last time we bought them, $25 per copy.
Oh wow!
So, yeah, they're really pricey. I don't even know why I'm sharing. I wanted to come up and get my phone. So anyway, sorry to kind of lead you in the lurch on that. Sorry.
Dennis, did you have a question for Bobby?
Yeah, that Women's Center. I think that was a spinoff from the Hope Center up there.
Actually, I think it's a different Hope.
No, it was
the one here locally.
By a woman named Sandy Allen, and I'm trying to think of when the years.
Well, we can close our lesson.
It's not part of that center up there.
Okay, Lori has a question.
No, not really.
Oh.
To that point about obedience,
yeah,
understanding, and what Jen was saying about the Israelites as they were there, but throughout my life, I've always tried to picture what it would be like to have been there.
Okay.
To have been Abraham.